Have you ever felt overwhelmed? How about anxious, fearful, or guilt-ridden? Have you ever felt so stressed out that you wanted to crawl into a hole? At times, we've all felt overwhelmed and controlled by the stresses of life. But through the power of the living Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you can put all of those feelings aside and listen to what Jesus has to say. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the special guest host of today's Godcast, Tim McDonald.
Hey everyone, this is Tim McDonald with A History with God. And I recently just read a devotional by, I believe it was a pastor, I didn't recognize the name, but he talked about the weapons we warfare have divine power. They're not the weapons of the world, they're divine weapons that have divine power and able to demolish strongholds. And it was a great topic, it was a great thing to speak on. But what I saw is that sometimes when you grow in your authority and you start to wield this power, that it can lead you in a wrong direction. And I just wanted to share some nuggets with you to help you maybe not go off on a tangent or get off path. And the nuggets that I'm going to share with you come from a book that I read. It's one of my favorite books. It's from Tommy Tenney, Finding Favor with the King. And really, when I was reading the book, it's not more favorite, obviously, than the Bible to me, but it's one of the most influential books in my life. And so the nuggets I'm going to share with you are how to use, I believe, it's a godly view on how to use your spiritual authority, your spiritual sword, because it's just gets fun, as you'll see, that it gets fun when you start seeing cancer go. It's fun when you see the demons flee, and you can go off on a wrong tangent. And so I want to share a little story with you that I think will illustrate what I'm kind of talking about. And my dad owned his own surveying business, and so we were surveying land, and I was 12 years old, and I think that to get me out of my mother's hair, he would let me in the summertime, let me or make me, I'm not sure what it is, I think it was probably more make. And so he'd make me go out into the field, they called it, with his surveyor guys, and they really didn't like working with me because I was 12 and probably annoying, and so they just kind of left me to my own devices many days to just make the day go by. And so I was rummaging through the work truck, and I came across a machete. And if you don't know what a machete is, it's like a 2-foot-long knife with a handle. It kind of looks like a sword, I guess. And so as you could just imagine, as a 12-year-old boy, wielding this sword, this machete in the woods with nobody around, no supervision, you know, I'm just out there. And so I was like, well, what are you supposed to use a machete for? So I started to hack down some trees. And so I went over to a one-inch diameter tree, and I hacked that down. And it was just such a feeling for me. I just remember so distinctly a feeling of accomplishment that basically, you know, I guess maybe now they call it, I started to clear cut like a 50-by-50-foot area of the woods. I was just hacking down anything that wasn't bigger than me. And it was just, man, I was just having a great time doing it. And so without the supervision and without the maturity, it was just the wrong thing to do. And so I'm just going to hopefully, if I'm only talking to a couple people out there, they're just maybe start walking in your authority. I just want to make sure that you don't handle your newfound authority in the wrong way like I did and start to go after and start cutting down everything in sight. And kind of what I'm talking about is there was a couple that I know that they were struggling with some physical issues. They were struggling with cancer. And so what they did is they got together with a bunch of friends, and they were going to have they were going to go after cancer in their whole church and in their area. And so it's just not the something you do. And then other people would go out and they're just looking for ways to, you know, basically cut down trees. They're looking for ways to go after demons so that they can use their authority. And we just don't see that in the Word. In fact, 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith." James 4, 7 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee." Paul says, "Stand firm. After you have done all, then to stand." Even when we look at Jesus when he's in the desert and he's and the devil's coming and tempting him, he's got the sword of the Spirit, right? He's got the Word of God and he's standing on the Word. He's not whipping that sword around like a weapon. He's just standing on the Word. He's saying, no, this is the Word of God. The enemy will try to change his mind and make him do things. And Jesus said, nope, this is the Word. And like it says in Peter, you just stand in faith on the Word, because the Word doesn't come back void, right? And so the story, the finding favor with the king, is based on the story in the Bible, the story of Esther. So if you don't know the story of Esther, I would highly, highly encourage you to read that. It's a kind of like a, not a worldly story, it's in the Bible, but it doesn't really mention God that much. And so, but it's a, Tommy Tenney draws the analogy between the queen and the king, and the similarities of our relationship to Father God. And so in the story, there's a king, there's a queen, there's the queen's uncle, and then there's an enemy. And the way she handles her enemy, I believe, is the way that we're supposed to handle spiritual warfare, the things that come in. We don't have to go running after those things. They'll come seeking us, because when we go running after those things, I believe we come out from our realm of authority, and at the very least, it's a futile attempt to do battle, and even at the worst, we can actually bring injury to ourselves because it's not our realm. Jesus says is that our position as sons and daughters is that we stand on the Word of God. We stand on the Word of God. What happened is in the story of Esther, that she approaches the king, and in that time, the king is very well protected because people want to come and they want to kill him. So he has all these executioners around him. And so she, when she approaches the king, it's not really the protocol of the palace. But he says, okay, don't kill her. She comes and she approaches him. And Esther found such favor with the king that he was so delighted in her. He was like, oh, Esther, Queen Esther. You know, I'm kind of adding to this. I'm adding emotion, but I see him saying, oh, Esther, I love you so much. I will give you up to half my kingdom. And so here comes the nugget when it comes to spiritual warfare. And so if you're taking notes, really take note of this next line. And this is where I'm going to expand on. She says, and it doesn't even make sense to me why she would say this, but she says, no, I don't want half the kingdom. I just want you and Haman to come to a banquet that I prepared for you guys. What happened is that we can declare our petitions and our desires to the king from the outside courtroom, and that's okay. Like, she could have presented her request. See, Haman wanted to eradicate all the Jews. He wanted them gone. And Esther was a Jew, and so she's trying to save her people from that persecution. And so she goes to the king, but that wasn't the place to do warfare. It wasn't right there. She invited the enemy and the king back to her place, that place of intimacy that we have, and that's the nugget when it comes to spiritual warfare. And then, see, what happens is, it happens in the secret place. What you release and what you pray in the secret place will manifest in the marketplace. It'll manifest in the world. It'll manifest against those things that you're worrying and contending over. So she invites him back to that place. And so many of us will settle for that half a kingdom. But see, as sons and daughters, we don't have to settle for half the kingdom. We can have the king. And when you have the king, you have the whole entire kingdom. And so many times we'll settle for half. But the enemy also wants to get us to do battle for the right thing, but on his terms, on his place. And that's not where we do battle. We do battle in the secret place. We do it in the place of intimacy. Because it says, and Tommy says in this book, it goes, when the enemy is the king's enemy, then the battle's not mine, the battle is the king. And so she invites him back. Even in Psalms, it says that the enemy, see, he prepares a place for us in the presence of our enemies. So we can sit at the table, and our king is sitting there, and Haman's sitting there. And Esther never once addresses Haman. She never once addresses the problem. She addresses the king. And she's not worried about it. She addresses the king. When we go into our prayer closet many times, our first thing that we do is we start to declare, or we start to tell the Lord, oh, this is going on. I got this sickness. This brother over here is hurting me, or this I'm being persecuted here. We start to unleash all these things that are on our heart. And the Lord, that's okay. We're supposed to make known the King known, but there's a much better way. There's a much better way. Because I start to love on God. He starts to say, wait, what about you? What about your needs? And it's just like in the story of Esther. She doesn't focus on the problem, never focuses on Haman. Her focus is always about on who he is. Tommy says in his book, he goes, that we can come into our prayer time with the Lord and be on our knees and worry, and we'll call that prayer. And we can be singing songs and worrying, and we'll call that worship. Because worry is not in a place of authority. You're not in a place of authority when you're worrying. When you're in a place of authority, it's I know who I am. I know who he is. My focus is on the King. Again, I just love saying it. And what you focus on gets bigger. And I could probably say it in every single message I do. But as it's the whole idea behind worship. As I'm focusing on the King, he gets bigger. Not my thing. Because when we focus, when we come before the Lord, and we have this long laundry list of things and needs that we have, that means our focus is on those things. And what we're doing is we're actually empowering those things. We're actually worshiping those things. And so the enemy has no power but to make you or to connect. Convince you to be focused on those needs. And as you're focused on those needs gets bigger. And it puts you in a place where you don't have power. And it gives him the authority to continue manifesting that thing against you. You can even look at it in Jesus when he's in the boat. He wakes up, there's a storm going on. And any storm you can sleep in, you have authority over. Because Jesus knew who he was. He knew who his Father was. And so he can speak right to the storm. And it can be ceased because his vision or his view of who Papa God is was way bigger than what the storm was doing. And that's the key behind worship. It's what you focus on gets bigger. It's the key behind spiritual warfare. So you don't go off on some tangent. You don't go off, I call it demon hunting, or just giving glory to everything that's going on around your life. So when you keep telling your brothers, oh, I'm really going through it, you're actually giving worship to that thing, and it's getting bigger, and it puts you on an outside of the fence looking in, and you don't have authority in those places. So what is the key? The key is single-minded worship. And worship is costly. It's costly sometimes. You know, the scripture is clear that says, unless you love somebody who doesn't love you, you don't get credit for that. There's no credit in loving somebody who can love you. It's the costly worship of the person who doesn't love you, and you see Christ in them, and you love Jesus in them, even though that person is really annoying you, right? Because there's many sheep. The sheep are annoying sometimes, that we don't always get along. And so it's just a tough spot. And so what we can do, the Lord is showing me now, to be able to love that person, to be able and to be in a place of worship and the right-minded security of who I am, I see Christ in them, and I learn to love the Christ that's in them. And for me, that helps me. It helps me to stay in that place of worship. David said that I will not offer sacrifices to God that cost me nothing, right? He goes to Arunah, wants to buy the threshing floor. Arunah says, no, my God, the King. He goes, you, I just give it to you because you're the King and I'm going to bless you. And he's like, nope. I will not offer sacrifices that cost me nothing. So it's costly sometimes. It's in that place of intimacy. It's in that place of worship that we learn who he is. And we learn it through like what he likes to see. What happens is one of the nuggets too that Tommy says in this book, Esther brings him back to the room, and it's in that place of intimacy that she feeds him. You know, she has access to the best food in the whole kingdom. You know, she probably has all these cooks available to her, and so she prepares this amazing feast, and they ate a lot because the Bible says that night the king couldn't sleep. And so when the king can't sleep, he checks the records. And he says, what have I done for this servant of mine, Mordecai, who saved my life? It's one of the ideas, and it's not doing to get, but when we set our hearts on worship and we feed God worship, and how do I know that that's worship? And how do I know that that's food? Because when Jesus was at the well, the disciples are somewhere else. He starts ministering to the woman at the well. They come back and he says, I have food. You know, Tommy says that, or somebody says that they come back with their happy meals after being at McDonald's and they're here, Jesus, we brought food. He goes, nope, I have food that you know not of. the food is for me to do the will of the Father. So as we start to do the will of the Father, we feed God worship. And it's in that place of repentance and worship and that you're doing warfare and you're not focused on your Hamans. You're not focused on your situations. You're focused on the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And then He releases all the kingdom over you, not just half, not just a little bit, not just whatever. It's our standing. And say you pray against that mountain and it doesn't move right away. Faith does not get swayed by nothing happening. It does not get swayed, and you stand on the word and you say, nope, I'm not focusing on you. I'm focusing on my King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I guarantee you, because it's in the word, it's not my guarantee, it's His, that His word will manifest over you. And then it keeps you place. You move the battle area from where you don't have home court advantage, right? In sports, it's many times the team that has the home court advantage because it wins. And so you move it from the place where the enemy maybe has advantage, you move it to that place of intimacy, and you never focus on Haman. I keep drilling that point home. I know I keep saying that, but we need to be reminded, not so much always as Christians do we need to be taught, but we need to be reminded. And it's that constant renewing of your mind of what the word says. And I just want to keep preaching because it's so good. And I'm in my little prayer room now, and the storm Sandy's going on around me, and I'm in New Jersey, and so just not watching TV. I'm just sitting downstairs and I'm releasing the word over you guys, and I just declare that you guys be blessed and learn and to grow up and to be mature and learn how to handle that sword and to yield it in a great way that doesn't bring injury to yourself or put you out of that realm of influence or authority. And so I just bless you with that in Jesus' name.
Question. You have them. Let's open up the mailbag in today's Godcast Q&A.
Okay, welcome everybody. This is Frank and Christina Sasso with our new segment, the Godcast Q&A. Thank you, JJ, for that that intro. Okay, we are going to read from some emails that we've gotten from some of the listeners, you guys, and also some from iTunes reviews. We open it up to you to also have a voice. So here's one from Thomas. He says, how about a Q&A segment where they can answer emails and stuff? I think that's a good idea. Well, we think it's a good idea too, Thomas. So here you go.
Thank you for your suggestion.
Thank you, Thomas. Our first email comes from Walter. Hey, I'm a faithful listener to A History with God's podcast, and I really got a lot out of the great revelation on your latest message on God's grace. Just so you know, that's the podcast called A Grace That Offends, which was maybe 5 or 6 podcasts ago. That being said, okay, I am a bit confused the way it was left off. It seemed to leave off with the idea that it was okay with God if we did sin because of grace, as if in order for grace to abound, God would use sin to do it. So sin so that grace can abound. Can you please clarify what you meant, or maybe I need to listen to it again? All right, so Walter kind of goes on with some very nice things he says about us. And Walter, we really appreciate that, brother. So we are going to attempt to answer your question. I was not saying that, yeah, God's fine with you sinning because of grace. I was trying to draw the point, just kind of clear up the fact that grace is so great, nothing you do is going to disqualify you from God's love. Right, Chris?
Actually, I'm looking back on an article I wrote about Romans 6, because in Romans 6:1 it says, what shall we say to all this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace, favor, and mercy may multiply and overflow? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? So in the article, I quote Andrew Womack, and he says, Paul spoke this revelation of God's grace under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost with perfect balance, yet he was still misunderstood. Therefore, those who are teaching grace but do not encounter these same arguments causing them to explain that they are not advocating a life of sin have not preached grace the way Paul did. If in their efforts to prevent misuse, they present grace in such a way that no one ever accuses them of giving people a license to sin, then they haven't presented grace correctly. So, what's cool, Walter, is that we probably presented grace correctly because you questioned, does that mean we're saying we now have a license to sin?
Right.
God forbid, as Paul would say. It's just that God's grace is so overwhelmingly awesome that when you explain it the way God intended it to be, people will be offended because it's so simple and so loving and free that we can't believe that God is that good, that he loves us that much. So, no, we're not advocating, oh, go ahead and sin because God loves that, you know, then his grace will just abound more. No, it's just that his grace is so overwhelmingly great
right. That
it would appear that way on first hearing or first look.
Yeah, that, when you first hear that, right. It's like, huh? That's why Paul put it in his letter.
Right,
you know, because
exactly.
It sounded that way too.
I just want to clarify that we're not saying that, oh, yes, we're advocating sin. Let me just back up. Because grace is a free gift, there's nothing that we can do to earn it. So, sin or no sin, God extends grace to us. But because Jesus died on the cross, he took all our sins so that we would be forgiven, past, present, and future. Now, Paul goes on to say, this is 2 Corinthians 5:12, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Does that mean now that we're never going to sin again or miss the mark? No, of course we're going to miss the mark. But now we've already been forgiven. And because we've already been forgiven, and because we realize the love of God, and because we realize the grace of God, and as we renew our minds to that truth, we no longer are slaves to sin because we no longer have a sin nature. Now, the only thing that has to catch up is our soulish man and our flesh man. And that takes some time. And how does it catch up? By renewing your mind, by getting a revelation knowledge, by reading the word, by getting instructed by the Holy Spirit, by praying in the Spirit. As our mind gets renewed, we come to that understanding of, hey, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I don't even want to do these things anymore.
Right.
And that's how the change comes.
Right.
Not by us willing it to happen.
Well, no. That's no good. That's no better than trying to fulfill the law.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So I hope that answers your question. If it doesn't, just email us again and
say it didn't answer my question.
And we can try again.
Okay, this next one is from Eric. He left an iTunes review. He said, Christina has encouraged me to take a stand about God healing all the time. I just don't know how to present it to my pastor. Any suggestions?
Yes, don't. No. I'm sorry. Well, get really, really fluent in the word. Go to the word New Testament, because we're under a new covenant. Go to the word and find out, even though there's scriptures in the Old Testament about healing and how God heals all our diseases and so on, but go to the New Testament and really, really get, just flood yourself with the word. Because, I mean, what are you going to say to argue the word? I mean, you either believe the word or you don't. And pastor or no pastor, person in the street, family member, whatever, if they're not going to believe God's word, then you could talk till you're blue in the face. Jesus could come down and tell them, and they're still not going to believe it. I mean, think about it. Jesus walked the earth, and he couldn't heal in his own town. Why? Not because he didn't want to. Read the scripture. It wasn't that he didn't want to heal. It's that the people said, he can't heal. I don't believe that.
Right.
And then that's why they didn't get healed.
That's Mary's kid.
Right. So you look in the scripture. Jesus wanted to heal every time, and he did heal every time when there was a willing partner. See, we have a part to play in this. And that's where people have a problem, because they do not want to take any responsibility.
Well, they turn it around and say, well, you know, God willing. Well, God is willing. He's willing.
Always.
He said, I am willing.
There's nowhere in the word that it says, I decided I didn't want to heal today, or their sins were too great, and I'm teaching. I don't see it. Right. I don't see it. And thank God I don't see it.
Mm.
So my advice would be just come armed with the word. That's it.
Okay, this one is from Jeff. My brother and I have been up all night together hanging out in my parents' house in Hawaii. Nice. I let him hear the episode with Riley, and when he did the witnessing part to Frank, my brother repeated it and he got saved. We started to watch the videos at kcm.org/next. Now, and they are very simple. I really enjoy your podcast, and please keep producing them. I love JJ the announcer. JJ will appreciate that. Jeff, good work, my man. That is awesome, and welcome to the kingdom to your brother.
It's so exciting when one single person, it's just,
that is
means
cool.
That, well, it's like Jesus went to the cross for your brother. If there was nobody else, he went for that one person. It's so personal.
Yeah, it is.
I am so excited and happy to welcome your brother into the family and can't wait to meet him someday.
Amen. I think we will. I really do.
In heaven or on earth, whatever.
Wherever.
It's just,
wherever.
Ah, that's such good news. Thank
that was
you,
good
Lord.
Stuff. Here's one from Brad. How does someone get the devotions from A History with God? Okay, Brad, I want you to listen very carefully. You go to www.ahistorywithgod.com, and anywhere right there on the front page, you can sign up for the daily devotions. You could also go to contact, and you can sign up for the daily devotion there. So those are two ways right there that you can do that. And they're really cool. Not only do you get a daily devotion, but you also get an update 4 times a year from us telling you guys what's going on with the ministry and what we're doing and what we're up to and things like that.
Here's another review from Elizabeth. I want more Tim. Did he disappear? I hope not. No, Tim did not disappear. Actually, he's doing the podcast this week.
This week is Tim, and then he's also doing it the week after next with me. So,
okay,
no,
so
he did not disappear.
Very much still around.
You can't get rid of Tim if we try to. Okay, this is also from the iTunes reviews. This one says, I've always had an uneasy feeling about the whole idea of pastors that have to run everything in churches. What's with that?
I don't know.
Sorry, we don't have the answer. Let's move on. Oh, here's one for you, Chris. Can they have Christina do more podcasting? I love her energy, and she's real deep, too. All right, well, that's it with the Godcast mailbag for this month. I think we're going to do this once a month. I think once a month would be good instead of some podcasts do their things like once a week. It's just, I think once a month would be cool. So if you have any questions, suggestions, comments, smart remarks, if you have a word maybe that you'd like to share with us, leave us an email, click on contact, and there's a whole window there you can type to us. Or feel free to go to iTunes and leave us a review. We will review your emails and iTunes reviews soon. Next month, actually. Until then, stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8 verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.